We celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus is our Good Shepherd. I had to put the reminder out for you. This is our first reading, but in that reading, we also heard that Jesus is not just the Good Shepherd, that he's the door or the gate for the sheep as well. There's also another couple of people mentioned in that gospel text. There were hired hands. But there was also a gatekeeper called the watchman in our version that we read this morning. A gatekeeper is one who serves on behalf of the good shepherd to tend and to feed the sheep. The good shepherd appoints the gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers serve. You see, sometimes shepherds would keep their flocks in a common sheepfold, which was run by the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper protected the flocks from the false shepherds. He opens the gate, the shepherds then call out, and then the sheep that belonged to that shepherd would leave the sheepfold and follow that shepherd out, and then another shepherd comes along and makes his call, and then those sheep come out. But in the meantime, they're all together. But of course, there's always false shepherds who want to try to steal. The gatekeeper protects the flock. In our book of order of the PCOSA, we have what is called the six great ends of the church. They are the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the nurture, worship, and fellowship of the children of God, the preservation of the truth, the maintenance of divine worship, the exhibition of the kingdom of God into the world, which is the last one. And the other one is... Which one am I missing? Maintenance of divine worship, preservation of truth, proclamation of the gospel, shelter, nurture, fellowship. I'm missing one. The last one is the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. So I'm missing number five. But anyway, we have these. So one of them is the preservation of the truth, that this is the job of the church, to preserve the faith once and for all passed along by the saints in the scriptures to the next generation, and to look for what is error and to make sure that we are not teaching error, doing error. Peter, Paul, John, and Jude in the New Testament in their books all warn about false prophets who would continue to increase in number until Jesus returns. And all of their letters that they write, they warn us not to be led astray by the false teachers. This would be like the false shepherds that come in and try to steal the sheep or to lead the sheep astray. The gatekeeper doesn't know the sheep as well as the shepherd does, but the gatekeeper knows the shepherd. He knows who's whose. If the gatekeeper doesn't recognize the shepherd, he's not going to let that shepherd near the sheep. As a gatekeeper, we are called to know Jesus. To be able to know Jesus and to be able to discern the true shepherd from the false shepherd. So it is the job of congregations, for example, to call their leaders, their elders, their deacons, and their pastors. That's one of the few things that congregations get to do. And this can be a form of gatekeeping. You ask questions and find out, who are these people? Do I know them? Do they know Jesus? Do they look like Jesus? At least a little bit? To discern it, presbyteries have COMs, and they do this job. But part of that is gatekeeping. Find out, are these under-shepherds that need to go near the sheep? It's the pastor's job, too, to work for the preservation of the truth, but these are the great ends of the church, not the great ends of the pastor. These aren't just the pastor's job description. This is what the church is called to do. It's our job as a church to preserve the truth, to keep the gate. Another one of those great ends, as I mentioned, is the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. This is what the gatekeeper did with the sheep in the fold. They sheltered them. The sheepfold was a protected place where the sheep could go. They could go in from the weather. They were protected. No wolves could get in because it's all guarded up. They fed the sheep while they were in the fold. Sometimes you have to supplement feeding or in between the grazing when they go out. That's the nurturing the children of God. And then they keep all the sheep together, all these different flocks together in the same pen. That's the fellowship of the children of God. And this ability to tend and feed and nurture the sheep has to be anchored in a love for Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, you're not going to love your fellow sheep. Again, it's the job of the church that we provide the environment and the place for these things to happen, for the sheep to be nurtured, to be protected and to be fed, and to fellowship with one another. And church is one of those places where we have the opportunity to gather with people who are not necessarily like us and whom we might not hang out with otherwise. And then all of a sudden we become family and can't imagine these people not being part of our lives. This is one of the blessings that we have as a church. It is the role of gatekeeping. Though certain individuals have different parts in managing that gatekeeping role. And we remember that we are one flock. So we look for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are not necessarily of our congregation, but we remember that we are one flock with them, that they're one shepherd, that they have the same shepherd that we have, Jesus, and we fellowship with them. Peter, in our second reading, was given a special commission to be a gatekeeper. He was made the chief apostle by Jesus. And in this reading, we saw Jesus commissioning Peter in this way, because the ability to tend and feed the sheep must be anchored in a love for Jesus. Jesus begins his dialogue with Peter by asking, "Do you love me?" And he asks it three times. The first time, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Our text adds the words, "Do you love me more?" That's what Jesus says. "Do you love me more?" Our text added the word, "Do you love me more than these?" More than what? We don't know. What was Jesus pointing at? Do you love me more? Do you love me more than fishing? Because they were out fishing before. Do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Do you love me more than you did, Peter, when you said you wouldn't deny me or leave me? We're not really sure what Jesus meant when he said, "Do you love me more?" Probably all of the above. Do you love me more? But Peter answers, "Yes, I love you," with a strong friendship and love more than whatever the more was. He doesn't use Jesus' word for love, which Jesus uses agape, that self-sacrificing love of God that is God himself. But Peter uses a very strong word for love. It's phileo. It means like you're my family, my very close family. If you, like you're my brother. Jesus still asks that question to us. Do you love me more? More than anything. And he wants our answer as much as he wanted it from Peter. Like Peter, we are called to examine ourselves. Is there something that we love more than we love Jesus? The third time Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he doesn't add more. It's just, "Do you love me?" And this time he uses the same word that Peter uses, phileo. And Peter is grieved by this third question. I don't know if any of you in ever reading this story have been troubled by Jesus's repeated questions like I have. But I'm right there with Peter. It would bother me. Part of this is not fully understanding Middle Eastern culture. I do believe Peter is upset that his love, even his deep friendship, brotherly love, is being challenged, but he appeals to what he knows about Jesus. He says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Peter knows Jesus, and Jesus knows that Peter is telling the truth. He calls Jesus Lord. He knows Jesus knows everything. But Jesus is giving his commission that third time. Every time he asks him, he tells him to do something. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, tend my flock, feed my flock. And Jesus lets Peter know that this love is enough. It might not be agape, it's phileo, but it's enough. It's enough love for you to do the job that I've called you to do. When Peter denied Jesus, he had forfeited his prerogative to be a gatekeeper. He left the gate, but Jesus restored him. This is good news for us. When we're totally disqualified to tend the sheep, Jesus restores us too. Do you remember when you first came to know Jesus' love for you, when you realized your sins were forgiven and that in Christ you have salvation? It's easy for us to express our love for Jesus in those times. Perhaps you even said at some point, "I'll do anything for you, Jesus," just like Peter did. And then, like him, time goes by and you didn't keep your promise, even though you made it with all the best intentions. But that doesn't mean you didn't love Jesus anymore. The love remained. And Peter's love remained too. To be a friend of Jesus is to love him. And Jesus can make our love grow. In our call to worship this morning, you guys recited Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. Jesus restored Peter's soul and his position as chief apostle. And Jesus restores our souls when we fail him as well. Jesus' threefold commission to Peter is really saying the same thing three different ways for emphasis. It's like Hebrew poetry. Jesus uses parallelism three times because Peter denied Jesus three times. But this is also the standard format for taking a vow. Any vow of commissioning was always repeated three times in Jewish rites, often in three different ways, to make sure that you really intended to do what you were promising to do. Some of you may be more familiar with the undoing of a marriage vow in Middle Eastern culture, that is a threefold declaration of divorce. You say, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," and that marriage vow is done. Well, promises were made the same way, not in quick succession, in relatively quick succession, but in a way that you thought about it as it was asked three times, not hastily, like, "I just want to get rid of you," like a divorce might be, but in a way that you're thinking about this. This is what you're committing to. Are you really sure you want to do this? The sheep don't belong to the gatekeeper, but the gatekeeper tends to them until the shepherd returns for them. We tend the sheep until Christ returns. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." It is always Christ's flock. The gatekeeper doesn't own the sheep. Jesus owns the sheep. To care for the sheep is to be representative of the good shepherd, to seek Christ's glory, Christ's gain, and Christ's kingdom, not one's own glory or gain. The gatekeeper also lets the shepherd be the shepherd, the one who leads. We all have personal preferences for which direction we would like to go, the way that we would really like others to go often. And we can even justify these preferences with really good reasons. But we must be careful to make sure we're always letting Jesus be the shepherd. We can't make anybody do something. Jesus is the one who leads. And Jesus might lead them in a different way than we would want to lead them. But as much as we want him to lead other people, we need to remember that he leads us as well. He's our leader. And as we follow him and we know that we can trust him, we know that we can trust him to lead other people. It also gives us freedom from knowing that we're not responsible for other people's choices, even when those people are very, very close to us. The Good Shepherd cares for his sheep because he's made them members of his family. When the shepherds would come for their sheep, they stand outside the sheepfold, they call for their sheep, the sheep recognize their voice, and they go right to that shepherd. In the same way, Jesus knows each of us by name. He has called us sheep to recognize one another as members of this same family. Jesus' family is our family. Jesus calls gatekeepers to tend the sheep, not like a hired hand, but as a friend of the Good Shepherd. And the sheep are called to be that unified flock. Jesus tells us in that first gospel reading that he's not just the Good Shepherd, he's also the gate itself. The sheep must go in and out through him. Gatekeepers, too, have to enter by the gate. Otherwise, they're not gatekeepers, but they're thieves and robbers, feeding off the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. Feeding off the sheep is getting worth and value from the sheep instead of from the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who validates the gatekeeper's work, not the sheep. Getting your worth from other people is what the prophet Jeremiah talked about in a vision about sheep, where fat sheep were eating lean sheep and they ate them all up. The sheep also have to enter by the gate. The only way to get into the fold is to go through Jesus. The only way to be part of God's flock is to go through Jesus. Only Jesus, our Good Shepherd, has given his life for the sheep that they might have eternal and abundant life. The gate is the life giver. Jesus gave his life of his own volition, we heard. And dying, his life bore fruit. And rising, he birthed the great flock. One flock with one shepherd. Old and New Testament believers belong to the same flock. Jews and Gentiles belong to the same flock. Rich and poor belong to the same flock. Young and old, men and women, all belong to the same flock. And Jesus cares enough about each sheep that he would leave 99 on the hill to go look for the one lost one. But he also cares about the flock as a whole. His bride, and he wants his flock to be unified. As members of the church, we are sheep, but as the whole church, we're called to be a gatekeeper. In order to do the work of gatekeeping, we have to know the shepherd. We have to be able to recognize his voice. We can't preserve truth if we don't know what the truth is, and Jesus is the truth. Second, we have to love the shepherd. We have to love him more than anything else. And part of that is being a friend to the Good Shepherd. Love for Jesus is evidence of our faith in him. If we believe, we will love. When we love Jesus, his path becomes our path. Love isn't a feeling, it is action. And if we love, we will care for the sheep. We're called as sheep to get to know one another, to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. To care for the sheep is to obey Jesus' command, love one another. How we tend the sheep looks different for each of us. We each have different gifts that we're called to use in caring for one another. Gifted to us by the Holy Spirit. But the call is the same. Follow me, Jesus said. We're all called to follow the shepherd. Charles Spurgeon gives examples of caring for the sheep. His list includes things like being a welcoming congregation, mature believers instructing not just young people, but those who are young in the faith. Caring for sheep is praying for the sheep, spending time with the lonely sheep, helping with physical needs. The how of following is what is different for each of us. While all of us are sheep, we are called as a whole to be the gatekeeper of the Good Shepherd until he returns for his flock. Some of us are sheep caring for sheep. None of us is more important than another. When Peter asked, "Hey, what about John? What about that guy?" Jesus told him it wasn't really any of his business. If we love Jesus, his command is follow me. And love requires sacrifice. For Peter, it would cost him his life. But it always costs us our life. It doesn't necessarily mean physical martyrdom, but it requires us to die to ourselves. Out of love for the shepherd, let us love one another as fellow sheep, and let us do the work of gatekeeping until the Good Shepherd returns for us. Let us pray. Good Shepherd, we thank you that you loved the sheep so much that you laid down your life for them. We thank you that you call us by name, that you care for each one of us, that you know us. Lord, help us to be your faithful sheep, to love one another, and help us as the church to do your work of being a faithful gatekeeper, to make sure that we preserve the truth and provide for the fellowship and nurture and worship of the children of God. Lord, you still ask us, do you love me? Do you love me more? Lord, we confess with Peter, you know all things, Lord. You know that we love you. You know to what extent we love you, and you know if there are things that we love more than you. We thank you that when we fall astray, you seek us out and bring us back into your fold. And for that, we love you more. In your name we pray. Amen.